Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 109, stanzas 1 through 4. The offering on the altar burned gives no delight to thee. The hearing ear, the willing heart, thou givest unto me. 1 through 4 of Psalter 109.
Scripture reading for this evening can be found in the Gospel according to John, and there up chapter 19, beginning with verse 28 to the end. John 19, beginning with verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head, and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was a preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the Scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, They shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate, that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes, with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we may be gathered together in the evening of this day, a day set aside by our fathers for that purpose of commemorating that great event upon which does depend the salvation of each and every one of thy people, upon which is founded the receiving of thy church and into thy bosom once again, who had departed from thee in paradise. Lord, thou hast fulfilled everything as we have heard, and that thou didst declare that it was finished. All the work that thou hadst promised unto thy Father that was required of thee in order that thou may accomplish the salvation of thy people. Lord, thou knowest the heart of each and every one of us. And we are come up in this evening hour, and it is from our side a form and a custom, because we are taught it from the days of our youth, And we learn it in our catechism classes and in school and in our home. But thou knowest also what it will become for us, when it will testify against us in that great day of days. And then it needs to become more. And then it needs to become a personal matter for each and every one of us. And then it is so necessary that we see and feel, and that we experience for ourselves the need for that death. And then it is so necessary that we are brought ourselves before thy judgment seat, that we may know what our sin is and all our accountability before thee, for what we have to give an answer, that we may become guilty before thee. Oh, then we shall despair of any way in ourself. And then it shall become impossible from our own side. And then a way must be opened by thee. Lord, we beseech thee that thou may instruct young and old among us, and that that great lesson that is so necessary to know. We can read it in thy word, that those three things that we need to know, that we may live in comfort and die in peace, that we may know how great our sins and miseries are, that it may go before to plow up that fallow ground, that there may be room and place, and that we may know also how we may be delivered from all our sins and miseries. Oh, then alone shall we know also that gratitude to thee. Oh, Lord, we beseech thee that thou may remember us in mercy. We are gathered around thy word of truth in this evening hour. Oh, that thou thyself may come, and that thou may make it true in the heart of each and every one of us, young and old. And wilt thou cause even the children and the youth, while they are still young, to know what their iniquity before thee is, and that it may become their burden while they are still young, and that they may be kept from the ways of sin, but that they may be brought also upon that narrow way through that straight gate. Or that they may be given to know that need in their own heart, that all their iniquity and sin may be forgiven, and that they may be washed and cleansed therefrom. Do look upon us when we have become older under thy truth. And then the saying is among men, the older the colder. And Lord, so many times that we have come into thy house of prayer, and so many times have we heard it from our youth, and then another time in this evening when thou wilt give it. But oh, that time must come, that the sword of thy spirit may strike between the harness in our own hearts. Oh, that thou would then stretch forth thy mighty arm in this evening, and wilt thou shoot an arrow from thy heavenly bow. Oh, that thou in this evening may bring a man to know for the first time his great need, that in this evening thou may give a man to know for the first time something of a hope in that great deliverer. Oh, that thou may give in this evening also to know something of that blessed forgiveness of all our sins. Oh, Lord, it belongeth unto thee. Thou knowest the heart of each one, where that we are, where we have been in this day. Thou knowest the inner chambers and the cries that have come up unto thee. Thou knowest also the carelessness of the heart. Oh, when it is so, then thou art able to make it different in a moment. Lord, we beseech thee then for thy nearness, And we beseech thee for thy presence. And we beseech thee for thy favor. As something of that power to be experienced in the heart of men. And that thou thyself may receive all the honor and all the glory. O Lord, thou hast not opened thy mouth in the way in which thou didst go. O that thou may give also to those that are afflicted in this world, and that their mouths may be closed, and that they may be instructed by thee, even as we can read it in thy word, of thy servant who did say it is the Lord, and let him do what seemeth good unto him. But wilt thou help all those that are afflicted, those that have sicknesses and serious diseases, those that are afflicted among us, but also those who are have afflicted relatives, and then also those whom we understand, who have come so near unto the gates of death. Lord, there are those that have become very old. And then the time that is not long anymore. And it can be seen that man goes unto his long home. But then it is so necessary to receive what is necessary also to die. Oh, that thou may be round about in thy mercy. And wilt thou give a little testimony of thy presence, thy nearness and thy help. Also, when they draw near to the gates of death, Lord, that thou would go before all thy servants over the length and breadth of this whole world. And when that great event is to be published amongst Jew and Gentile, for there are no bounds, and there is a bloodshed sufficient for all the sins of the whole world. O Lord, then there is none that are too great a sinner. O that thou may convince men thereof in the midst of this world, and that thou may open unto men what thou hast provided from that great and never begun eternity. Wilt thou so look upon all thy servants, increase their number, to do that great work of bringing forth that message of free and sovereign grace. And do look upon us also in this evening hour, and when we are gathered round about thy word of truth, and when we are called to bring this word in this evening hour. O Lord, then we beseech thee, and that thou would give to us strength in our body, clarity in our mind, and a rich measure of thy Holy Spirit, and that we may be enabled to bring forth things new and old out of thy law. Oh, that there may be a little quiet meditation upon thee, and that thou thyself may be feelingly and believingly in the midst of us with the power of thy Holy Spirit. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our many sins, for Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 272, stanzas 1 through 4. Lord, hear my prayer, and let my cry have ready access unto thee. And when in distress, to thee I fly. All hide not thou thy face from me. We remind the catechism students that their books are available immediately after the service this evening in the basement. Psalter 272, all stanzas. Beloved congregation, it is Good Friday. And what is it that we commemorate on Good Friday? That is, our children can give us that answer. That is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. What event in the history of the whole world, from its beginning to its end, is more significant than the death of Christ? What event for the welfare of God's church is more significant than the death of Christ? Here in our country, when Christmas is approaching, then it is very evident. Then everyone has a desire that they may be somewhat involved, although it is to be feared that for most it is but in a superficial manner. However, when Good Friday is approaching, then we see not much in this world. Christmas, it is said, that has to do with the love of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But Good Friday, that has to do with what? That has to do with His wrath. That has to do with sin. And man does not want in himself to hear about sin, nor has he a desire to hear about the wrath of God. Thus we see our great superficiality, because it is not possible that we are experiencing that love of God as long as that wrath of God has not been taken away. God cannot deny Himself. Every one of His attributes must be upheld. Thus the Lord does not descend from His throne of justice in order that He may ascend His throne of mercy, as some say. No, but mercy that can only be shown through justice. And that is not something that we need only to instruct our children in their youth. That is not something that we need merely to understand with our mind. But it is that which we must experience, each and every one of us, for ourselves in our heart. And that is our hope and prayer also for this evening hour, when we wish to consider together with you the words of our text, which you can find in that portion that was read to you in John 19, thereof the verses 41 and 42. John 19, verses 41 and 42. Now, In the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. So far, the words of our text. Manifestations in the burial of Jesus. First, the manifestation of his hidden disciples. And second, the manifestation of the certainty of his death. Manifestations in the burial of Jesus in two thoughts. First, the manifestation of his hidden disciples. Second, the manifestation of the certainty of his death. There laid they Jesus. There laid who? Jesus. That is two men. Two men who have come together to bury the Lord Jesus. Burial, that is a great blessing. We read of the wicked king Jehoiakim that he was to have the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem, his dead body cast out to the heat by day and unto the frost by night. To be without a burial, that is a great dishonor. It belongs to one of those characteristics of which Solomon says that an untimely birth is better than he. The preservation of the body and the burial of the body that was for the Jews in expectation of the resurrection of that body. Today we know that men cremate the body. And not only cremate the body, but also sprinkle the ashes of that cremated body. And it can be that that cremation under some circumstances is necessary. But in general, that is a practice that is done in defiance against that hope of the resurrection from the dead. That is to say, let us see whether the Lord, he is able to gather my ashes which have been strewn into the sea. Men in the judgment will experience what the power of God is, what it was in the creation, and what it is to be in the resurrection of the body. Long ago already, we can read that the Lord Jesus, it was prophesied that he should have an honorable burial. Because he was to be not only with the wicked, but he was also to be with the rich in his death. And so we see it here. There laid they Jesus. When Adam was asleep, then the Lord gave to Adam a great blessing. He gave to him a wife. And when the Lord has slept, then he has also received a blessing. Because we can read that while he was in this world, that he had not a place to lay his head. That was part of that suffering which he has taken upon himself. But we see that in his death, though he has lacked much in his life, in his death, that he has lacked nothing. And so it will be also with his people. There laid they Jesus. Who? Well, there are here two men. Those two men, they are joined together. They are come together not only, but they are also joined together in a special way by the Apostle John. That is, when he is speaking about these two men, who are they? The one that is Joseph of Arimathea. You say, who is Joseph of Arimathea? Because we have never heard of Joseph of Arimathea before. No, that is true. In all those 3 years that the Lord Jesus has walked upon the earth, then we do not hear of this Joseph of Arimathea. Who is he? The Bible says that he was a rich man. The Bible says that he was an honorable counselor. That means he was a very reputable senator, belonging unto that great Jewish Sanhedrin. But there is more. Because the Bible also says that he was a disciple of Jesus. So how can that be? That he is a disciple of the Lord Jesus, but we have never heard of him before. That is right. Because what do we read here? That he was a disciple, but secretly for fear of the Jews. Thus, he was, we will call him a secret disciple. That is something. Because there are many persons in our world that to make a confession of Christ in a very open way, of whom that we have to judge by their life, that they are indeed no disciple of the Lord Jesus. But here we read it is just the opposite. Of course, in this time, then it was not an easy thing to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. That was from the first, but as time has gone on in those 3 years, it has become ever more difficult to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus, because they would be thrown out of that synagogue. Thus, we have many persons who did not want to confess him, we read. Those parents of that man that was born blind, they gave that word, that answer, over into the hands of their son. And so we can read it also in the early church, that there were many persecutions, and because of those persecutions, then there was often a fear that men would say that they were a disciple of Christ. Joseph is quiet about it. But in his heart, there is love. Joseph, he cannot agree. And we read with the decisions of that Sanhedrin. But we do not read that he had the courage to come forward and to give his opinion amongst that Sanhedrin. Perhaps, in order that he would not be found out, he has absented himself in the time that that awful decision was to be made. Thus, Joseph of Arimathea, but secretly, a disciple of Christ. And who is the other one? That is Nicodemus. And who is Nicodemus? John, he says, which first came unto Jesus by night. That is the way that the Apostle John is describing for us who that Nicodemus is. But we know more about Nicodemus. We can read that in God's Word, because the Lord Jesus, when Nicodemus came to him by night, then the Lord Jesus has said to him, "Thou art a master in Israel. Thou art a teacher in Israel." And we can read that Nicodemus, that he was a ruler of the Jews. Thus Nicodemus, also on that Sanhedrin of the Jews. And we do read of him that there came a time that he began a little bit to come forward for the Lord Jesus. Then he is not stating that so openly, no. But then he says to them, "Doth our law judge any man before that it hear him?" Thus at least that the Lord he should receive a hearing from us. But now John, he does not say that this is Nicodemus who was a master in Israel. This is Nicodemus who has spoken in that Sanhedrin. No, he says this is Nicodemus who has come to Jesus by night. Why? Why does John describe Nicodemus in this way? Well, John, he unites these two men. He says these two men, they are the same. One of them is a secret disciple for fear of the Jews. And the other one, he is a night disciple. He is the one who is coming to the Lord Jesus by night. Thus, both of these men are connected by John by that character. They are timid. They are those who are not able to profess the Lord Jesus in an open way. So we have men. They are very learned. We have men who have a very great, a very high position among that people. They are very reputable men. And yet, they are men who have very fearful hearts. Grace that has changed their heart. Grace that has made them disciples of the Lord Jesus, but grace that has not entirely changed their character. Congregation, Are there any such disciples among us? Are there here any secret disciples of the Lord Jesus? Are there here any night disciples of the Lord Jesus? Are there any of whom no one else knows concerning that love that is living in your heart? Concerning that inner chamber that you have before the Lord? Or is it so that that is something that is hidden from your husband? Is it so that that is something that is hidden from your wife? From your children? Maybe a boy or a girl for whom that is hidden from father and mother and from brothers and sisters? All taking place where no one else in this world is able to see you, and you are afraid to say it. It is one thing when we are afraid to say it in the midst of the church, because then it can be that we say it is nothing. It is nothing. And then we fear that others would think that it is something when really it is nothing. But here, then it is in a special way, the fear before men in the midst of this world. And with this, we must be so careful. Why? Because the Lord Jesus, he says, he that honoreth me, I will honor. And those that despise me, they shall be lightly esteemed. Maybe you think that to yourself too. You say, how can that ever be if there would be persecution once again, which has taken place in the church years ago, and which is so obviously coming very soon upon us and our children, which we can observe in everything that is taking place in this world and in our country. Oh, how will I endure it? In the midst of this world, when the enmity against Christ that is coming out more and more, that you say, is it truly love that is living in the bottom of my heart? And now we read here something that is so remarkable. We read here something remarkable about these two fearful, secret, night disciples. And what is that? That is, just in the midst of the very greatest turmoil, that it is just these disciples who receive a courage that is much greater than the open disciples, than the day disciples of the Lord Jesus. What do we read about Joseph of Arimathea? We read that he went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Thus he has gone into that place where all the other disciples, they would have so feared to enter. And the Bible so specifically says it. John says that he went in with boldness. Thus, it is speaking something about what it took for him to go in unto Pilate and request that body of Jesus that he may give to it a decent burial. Surely, Joseph of Arimathea can expect to be ridiculed, to be mocked for this deed. Especially seeing that time that he now does this, because it is a time when it has become evident to everyone that the Lord Jesus is indeed a deceiver, because he has called himself the Son of God and he has called himself the King of Israel, but he is now dead. Thus everyone can see, and everyone on that Sanhedrin can see, that indeed they were correct, and that the Lord Jesus and his followers, they were all deceivers. Thus, it is not a time of hope. It is not a time of expectation for those disciples. No, everything is for them over. The mockers, they are laughing. And the enemies, they are all rejoicing. There are enemies outwardly that are rejoicing. And there are enemies in the heart of God's children. They are also rejoicing. And it is just at that time that all the fear is taken away from these two disciples, these night disciples, these secret disciples, so that they are receiving a courage that they have not known in their life, a boldness, a strength before all the world and before all the church. And that is not only Joseph of Arimathea, but we read also of Nicodemus. This Joseph and this Nicodemus, maybe they have never known it of one another. God's people that have never known it of one another. And yet here we see that these two men in these circumstances are being by the Lord brought together. Nicodemus, we can read that he is also a very rich man. We read, and he brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. There is nothing that is too much for him because of love that is burning in his heart. And it is now in these moments that work of the Lord that is beginning to show forth itself in the life of this Nicodemus. That work of grace, that love that is beginning to make itself evident. It is beginning to manifest itself. And that love that becomes evident when? That becomes evident in the death of Christ. This is that event that has united these two men. This is that event by which that which was living in the heart of these two men begins to show forth itself. What did they expect to receive for that deed? Nothing. Nothing. They did not expect to sit on the right hand or on the left hand of Christ in His kingdom. They expected to receive nothing from Him in His life because He is dead. There is only one thing that they can receive, and that is mockery. In the world and in the church. And yet they do it. Why? Love. Oh, they could not bear that body of Christ that has endured already so much should be given once again into the hand of those cruel soldiers, so that they may abuse that body even after His death. They cannot bear that Christ should be buried along with those malefactors. Thus they do not disown Him in that greatest suffering, but it is love that is making them bold to go through every danger that is before them. Lately, we heard that Christ, He has said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now we see something of that fruit. That fruit that was more in the life of these men, in the death of Christ, than it was in the life of Christ. Paul, he says that through death that He has destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, that He might deliver them who were all their life subject to bondage. Thus we see these men in such a bondage in their life, and who are so delivered from that bondage in the day of the death of Christ. Those hidden disciples that love manifested in that day of His death. And so it is in the life of that church. When that death that is being revealed to that people, that is the day that that people begin to be set at liberty. It is the day that that people begin to receive that opening. It is the day that people, they begin to receive courage from the Lord. And then it will not be that they are remaining secret disciples, that they are remaining night disciples. But the Lord is giving them liberty that that work of His may come out into the open. Let us sing Psalter 415, stanzas 7 and 8. Yea, the secret of Jehovah is with those who fear His name. And with His friends in tender mercy, He, His covenant, will maintain. And what follows in 7 and 8 of Psalter 415. our second thought, the manifestation of the certainty of his death. Why are all these circumstances concerning the death, concerning the burial of the Lord Jesus, why are they written in the Bible? Thus, why do we not just read that the Lord Jesus died? Would that not have been sufficient? But that we know all the circumstances, how he died, and now also how that he was buried. All those circumstances, they are not insignificant. Not only the death, but also the burial of the Lord Jesus was prophesied. By what type? Christ, he said in his life that as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale, in the belly of that fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Thus, he has shown how that Jonah, he was actually a type of himself. Why must Jonah be cast into that sea? That is because of wrath. That is because of a tempest. And when he was cast into that sea, then what do we read? Then the sea ceased from her raging. The wrath of God against the sin of his church that is taken away in the death of Christ, that the sea may cease from her raging. Paul says that the wrath of God that is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. But David, in Psalm 85, he says, "Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath." Objectively, there is no more wrath against God's church on account of the death of Christ. But if what is objective never becomes for us subjective, never is experienced in our own heart, how shall we ever receive the comfort of it? What does our catechism say concerning the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why was he also buried? That is, to prove that he was really dead. The purpose of that burial of Christ is that that sea may cease from her raging within the heart of God's children. Because there is nothing so necessary for that people as the death of Christ. And that that death, that it be the substitution for their own sin. That needs to be applied. That needs to be confirmed to their own heart. Joseph and Nicodemus, They are looking to all the circumstances that are about them. But it is all in the providence of the Lord, who is looking for the good and the welfare of His church, not only at that time, but also that church that is in the future, that is the church of all ages. Thus, Joseph, he goes into Pilate to do what? That is, to beg the body, to crave that body of Jesus. That was part of the humiliation of Christ, that even His dead body that had to be released from that heathen man. But the Lord will have His children to do everything decently and in order. And so we read that Joseph of Arimathea, he seeks that lawful permission concerning the body of Christ. But for what reason? Because Pilate, he marvels. He marvels that he would be dead already. And then he calls that centurion who is over that crucifixion, and he receives out of the mouth of that heathen man that confirmation that the Lord Jesus is dead. Thus, the Lord is watching over for the benefit of His church, that they might know the certainty of the death of His Son. Why? Oh, that sea may cease from her raging. Joseph, he is ready to give his own new tomb. Why? Because we read, because it was nigh at hand. But the Lord, He has a higher purpose. The Lord, He has a purpose for that church of all ages, because this thing is not going to be done in a corner. It is not going to be done in some far corner in this world where none can see it, no. But it will be done before the face of all the church and all the world. That tomb that shall be sealed closed. Why? Oh, for that church, that sea may cease from her raging. That will be a new tomb, we read. There shall be no question of who that is, that is risen from the dead, that was dead and is alive. Why? That sea for that church may cease from her raging. For 3 days, that body wrapped in linen, and in myrrh, and in spices. Why? That sea may cease from her raging. But congregation, where is now that people for whom that sea has even begun its raging? Because if it has never begun to rage, then how can it cease from its raging? Thus, did your soul ever have to do in your life with death and the judgment? Did you ever have to stand before the judgment seat of God? Did you ever learn in your life what the wages of sin are, that is death. That is not only a temporal death, but that is spiritual death. And that is also eternal death. Oh, where is that people that row hard to bring that ship to land, but for whom that tempest, that is too great? That Jonas, he was not buried in that sea, and he did not have to cry out of that belly of hell for that people who could do it themselves, that had strength in themselves. No, so we read also of Christ that when we were yet without strength, that he died for the ungodly. Oh, where is then that people who are not able to bring it to the land? Asaph, he once was envious at the foolish because he saw the prosperity of the wicked. What did he say? He said that there are no bands in their death. They did not receive the sentence of death in their life. And they were so deluded that when they came to their death, that they were laying themselves down in peace. And God's children, how is it? Is it not so often just the opposite? So distraught with fears of the judgment, fears at the prospect of dying and standing before the Lord. But do they really need to be envious at the foolish who have never in their life seen a reason to tremble because of that judgment seat of God? Do that people not die in their ignorance? Do that people not die with a lie in their right hand? Do that people not die only to descend into that sea? Into that sea of fire and brimstone forever and forever. But when that sentence of death, when that is coming in our life, oh, then there will also come a time that the Lord will show unto that people something of that cross. And then they shall begin to experience something of the significance of that sepulchre of Christ, wherein all the sin of that church that is buried forever. When Bunyan came to that gate, Bunyan's Christian, then in the revelation of Christ, then we do not read that burden was coming from his back. But it was later. It was later in the difficulty that we read that the Lord is giving to him a sight of that tree, and there that burden that has fell from his shoulders, and it has gone down into that sepulchre. We read, and he saw it no more. all the blessedness of that experience of Good Friday in our life. Because there, a man begins to receive something of that freedom. There that sea, that ceases from her raging. And what is then the grave, people of the Lord? What is then that dark, cold grave unto you? Do you fear it? Christ has gone before. Christ, he has laid himself down in that grave. He has sanctified that grave as a resting place for his people. He has perfumed that grave with the sweetest of odors, making it but a passageway. What did the Lord say to Jacob? He says, "Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will go with thee, and I will surely bring thee up again." All that lowest part of that humiliation of Christ that was just before his blessed exaltation. But what does Paul say? Paul says, every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterwards, they that are his at his coming. That is the hope. That is the expectation of his church. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we can receive nothing except to be given us from above. Thou knowest the sea, Lord. Thou knowest the raging of the sea. Thou knowest every heart. Where it is in this evening hour, thou knowest those who are not able to bring it to the land. Oh, we beseech thee that thou may look upon them, because it is for them, is it not? Oh, it is for them that greater Jonas was cast overboard. And that he has spent there those 3 days and those 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Oh, that thou may open the eyes of such ones. Wilt thou look upon us, grant thy blessing in upon thy word, bring us safely to our places, give us desire to be together in thy house again upon thy day. Remember our brother elder who cannot be with us even in this evening again. Wilt thou grant him sufficient strength and health once again to go in and out among us? Remember those also that hope to travel. Watch over and protect each and every one, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 29, stanza 3. My soul in death's dark pit shall not be left by thee. Corruption thou wilt not permit thy Holy One to see. The third stanza of Psalter 29. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.